Why should we care about a place called Solomon Islands? Most of us may not even know what it is. Is it a country? Is it an atoll? Is it a part of a country, an island that's part of a country? Maybe some might even think that this is a fictional place out of a movie or some James Bond plot. It isn't. It is a country. It's a tiny country way down in South Pacific, far away in South Pacific, sort of north of Australia, but very far from India. So why should we bother? Now, let me try and put it a little bit differently for us to understand it better. Now, Maldives is also several hundred kilometers from our southern coast. It is also sitting in the middle of nowhere. It's a bunch of islands, a bunch of atolls. An atoll is a bunch of islands sitting in the Indian Ocean. If you in fact look at the map and where Maldives is, see the capital, Male, and see how far do these islands stretch. All of these islands together, in fact, a majority of the islands are not even inhabited even now. They have a total population of just about 6 lakh people, maybe 6 and a half, I don't know the precise figure, but thereabouts. Now, those islands, see, why is it so that US Secretary of State Pompeo, he came to India, he went to Sri Lanka, he also went to Maldives. Why? Because Maldives was now seen as being crucial to Indo-Pacific, right? Because Indo-Pacific is Indian Ocean and Pacific Ocean. So this bunch of islands sitting in the heart, deep down in Indian Ocean, and then later Indian Ocean, as you go on, connects on one side to the Pacific. These are very crucial. And the very idea that the Chinese could somehow acquire a foothold there, as had begun to happen under the previous government in Maldives. Under the previous government in Maldives, Maldives had begun pulling away from India and becoming more and more dependent on China. And you know what happens, what China's dependency, what being dependent on China means. Chinese invest money, Chinese bring in their people, they bring in their infrastructure, their machinery, their intelligence. And basically, once they acquire a foothold, you can't get rid of them. And they lend you money. They lend you money on very harsh terms. They lend you more money than you might have borrowed. If you were in your good senses, ask the Sri Lankans what happened to them in Hambantota. But you also get lured by easy money, easily available money. That's what's happened to Pakistan also. And Pakistan seems to be heading in that direction. So Maldives were heading in that direction. Then there was a change of government in Maldives and a more sober government came into power. This government restored its relationship with India and repaired its relationship with India. Now, its critics have been trying to run an anti-India agitation there, which this government is putting down. To that extent, Maldives coming back, Maldives return as a friend of India. I don't want to say in the Indian fold. As a friend of India, was also a cause of relief among India's Quad allies, that is the US, Australia, and Japan. Now imagine, if Maldives one day decided, if we heard the news that Maldives has signed a comprehensive security arrangement with China. Under this arrangement, the Chinese can send their ships, their warships, any military assets to Maldivian ports for replenishment, for exchange, for any activity. Basically, short of getting permanent bases, being able to use Maldives for any of their activity. Plus, if then this also had an arrangement whereby whenever the Chinese thought their interests were threatened in the Maldives, they could intervene with their armed force. And third, if the Maldivian regime of the day or government of the day felt threatened and felt that there were disturbances which could be democratic protests that they were not able to put down, they could invite the Chinese to put this down. What would be the reaction in India? We will go apoplectic. Besides, what will be the reaction in Japan, in Australia, in the US, other Indo-Pacific countries, other Quad members? All of us will immediately act in alarm and do something about it. At least we'll start protesting right away and making noise right away, and we'll see this as an immediate threat. Now look at now that flip the globe a little bit and see on the screen where Solomon Islands are and see the similarities. Solomon Islands are about 900 islands. Not all, most of them are not inhabited. Now, those islands, 900 islands, have a population of just about 7 lakh people, give or take maybe 10,000, 20,000, just about 7 lakh people. So very similar countries. Both Maldives and Solomon Islands are sovereign countries. The slight difference with Solomon Islands is that it's a constitutional monarchy. So monarch being the queen, Queen Elizabeth II. So she's like the titular head of Solomon Islands. And she has a governor general who's elected by the National Assembly. National Assembly is a 50-member house. It's an adult franchise. Everybody gets to vote. It's a democracy. And that elects a prime minister who rules the country. So Solomon Islands has a prime minister now. His name is Manase Sogaware. Now, Solomon Islands became independent from the British, say, mid-70s in the last century. But since then, it's never had much stability. Now, there are a lot of people who say, oh, it's a failed state, right? It's not really a failed state. There is the other view, which is that it's not a failed state. It's a state that is in the works. That's a work in progress, which is maybe more a better explanation. Now, the big island, which is the power center, is the island of Guadalcanal. Sounds familiar? I was holding it until I had set up the story a little bit, because many of you might have a recollection of Guadalcanal, because this is where that famous or infamous, ferocious, ultra bloody, take no prisoners battle took place, or a series of battles took place between Allied forces and the Japanese troops entrenched there in the Second World War, say between 1942 and 1945. And if you're like my vintage, or maybe even after that, you might be familiar with the works of a historical fiction writer, a very famous best-selling historical fiction writer, Leon Uris. He, who also wrote Exodus, Topaz, and many other books, and you can see those titles. His first book, I think it was his first book in 1953, 54, or thereabouts, because the movie on it was made in 1955. That was titled Battle Cry. So Battle Cry is a book that he wrote about the Battle of Guadalcanal. It helped that he was in the 6th Marine Regiment. He was an enlisted man in the 6th Marine Regiment. He was a communication man, a radio man. And if you remember that book is also told in first person as if in the voice of a communication man in that regiment. So first we have the battles of Guadalcanal, and then you go on to Taraba. So that is the area. So Guadalcanal, it's on that island that Honiara, the capital of Solomon Islands, is based. And the prime minister is Manase Sogaware. So what's happened is, and first of all, a leak took place. The leak was the draft of an agreement that Sogaware's government and the Chinese were going to sign. Nobody denied that leak. Nobody said that this leak is not authentic. Then soon enough, while people were still trying to figure out whether this is authentic, this is not authentic, is this the final document or not, he made a statement in his parliament just recently. Now he's made a statement in his parliament saying that he has signed an agreement, a comprehensive security agreement with the Chinese, but he still isn't willing to reveal the full agreement even in his parliament. That's got everybody suspicious that the agreement he signed is the same that had been leaked. That agreement has 7 articles. So very interestingly, he made his statement in parliament just on the eve of the visit of a very important American delegation. And this American delegation had specifically to do with Indo-Pacific, because the delegation was headed by the American Assistant Secretary in State Department for the region, but more importantly, by Kurt Campbell, who's in the National Security Council, Indo-Pacific Coordinator. And Kurt Campbell is the person, is the mind who was responsible for the big pivot to Asia, pivot to Indo-Pacific in Obama's time. So just before he arrived, Prime Minister of Solomon Islands made this statement. Now, if this draft is correct, and it is widely believed now to be correct, it means that the government of Solomon Islands, one, can request the Chinese to come and help them with police, army, navy, anything, in case they need help. And they have problems, and I'll come to that, and they have limitations. I will explain that to you. They do need foreign help every once in a while. In fact, much too often. Second, that even if the Chinese need to send their forces for their own needs, that is to protect their assets or protect their diaspora. Some of the recent disturbances in Honiara, the capital of Solomon Islands, they have targeted a neighborhood of Honiara called Chinatown, which, as you would expect, houses a lot of Chinese businesses, ethnic Chinese businesses and ethnic Chinese homes. This is a Chinese diaspora. In November last year, there were massive riots and massive disturbances. Chinatown was targeted. Chinatown was targeted earlier also in disturbances that took place more than 2 decades ago, because this then begins to look like an ethnic clash. So this gives the Chinese like a preemptive right to come and protect their people just because they happen to be of Chinese extraction. Never mind that they are now naturalized in Solomon Islands. Plus, this agreement says, the articles in the agreement, that as I had explained to you earlier, fictionally, if it were to happen with Maldives, that the Chinese can use Solomon Island facilities and their ports for their replenishment, for their refueling, for their logistics, for exchange of personnel. So everything short of setting up a base. But you see, once you get there and the Chinese start building up your infrastructure, then you are just half a step away from a base. And Chinese now have a very solid base in Djibouti, that is on top of the Horn of Africa. That's another choke point between Red Sea and the Indian Ocean. You can see it on the map. If the Chinese get a foothold here as well, see, Solomon Islands will then not look like a place so far away from all of us, because these islands will then sit atop so many of the shipping lanes coming in from Americas into Asia, Americas into Australia, Americas into Asia, and from the Pacific into the Indian Ocean. And that's why everybody has immediately got neurotic about it. So Australians have spoken out against it. Scott Morrison has spoken out against it. He's the Prime Minister. He's facing a tough election. And this is also broken at a time when Australia is going through its election process. And it's a very, very polarized election between the Labour and the Conservatives, led by the current incumbent. So the Labour is now calling it the biggest failure, the greatest failure of Scott Morrison's foreign policy. In fact, they are even saying this is the biggest foreign policy failure in the history of Australia since the Second World War. Now, this is election time, so overstatement is to be expected. But the fact is, are you now going to see the Chinese sitting next door to you? You thought all this while that, all said and done, Australia is far, far away from all this, right? But right now, if the Chinese come to Solomon Islands, see the map, then they don't look so far away. And then it changes all of the equation for the Australians also. The Americans have issued their own statements. Americans, in fact, because Solomon Islands has had a history of disturbances, they had shut their embassy in Honiara in 1993. And they've been talking about opening their embassy again, because everybody knows that this real estate now, geostrategically, this is now a very valuable geostrategic real estate. So they've been wanting to come and reopen their embassy. So Americans are saying this is wrong, that this is provocative. Americans are saying that this follows the pattern of the Chinese signing, and I'm quoting now, shadowy, vague deals with little regional consultations, which means they suddenly spring a surprise like this, and that's what they've done with Solomon Islands. So the Japanese are protesting, the Australians are protesting, the Americans are protesting. India, as we know, is always very careful saying anything to do with the Chinese, but there are concerns on the Indian side as well. What is the Prime Minister of Solomon Islands saying? So Manasseh Sogavare in his parliament said, "I ask all our friends, neighbors and partners to respect our sovereignty, that nobody should feel threatened by this." But the fact is, everybody is feeling threatened by this. Now, you might ask me, that is there any justification in Solomon Islands seeking foreign guarantees for its own security. Now, there are people in Solomon Islands, critics, the opposition leader, the leader of the opposition, Matthew Whale, who's been quoted in the Solomon Star, which is the most respected or the best known English newspaper in Solomon Islands. He's called the deal mercenary on the part of the government in Solomon Islands and opportunism on the part of the Chinese. And he says, in the garb of doing something with the Chinese, a kind of geopolitical deal is being made out, and Solomon Islands is being compromised as a geopolitical asset. That's the implication of what he is saying. But the fact is that Solomon Islands has had security problems. Population of just about 7 lakhs, it doesn't have an army. So even today, it has about maybe 500 to 1,000 people in uniform who do everything, who do the policing to soldiering to fighting, etc., etc. So they are not able to control the problems when they arise. So they've been routinely asking the Australians and others to do this. So there is a body called Pacific Islands Forum, PIF, which is a kind of regional body which comes together in times of crisis or calamities or threats. So in 2003, Solomon Islands again had disturbances and they were not able to put them down. So they had requested the Pacific Islands Forum to help. That's when Pacific Islands Forum sent a force there of about 2,000 people, most of them Australian, but also drawn from New Zealand and elsewhere. I think some Fijians also. This was called Regional Assistance Mission to Solomon Islands, or in short form, RAMSEA. Troops of RAMSEA are still somewhere there, maybe not in as much strength. So Australia and other neighbors think that, look, why Solomon Islands going to the Chinese for their security when we are all there and we are there, quote unquote, selflessly. Solomon Islands, this leader on the other hand has other issues. In 2019, he nearly lost power. He's now prime minister the fourth time, but at none of the times did he have an easy tenure. He's been thrown out of power, he's come back to power, he's been dismissed, he's come back to power. There's been a lot of political instability. So he's trying to now reach out to the Chinese to perpetuate his rule. He's even threatening to cancel next year's elections, to rewrite the constitution. And for that, he needs help from a big power like the Chinese. Now, many of the Pacific states have had old relationships with Taiwan. But Mr. Soga Ware, he discontinued his diplomatic contact with Taiwan and recognized fully the Chinese instead. That was a big change in the history of Solomon Islands. And the Chinese obviously appreciate that. So he's reaching out to the Chinese. And to that extent, his critics think that to perpetuate his own power and become sort of more of a dictator now, an unchallenged leader, he is bartering the sovereignty of his nation. On the other hand, his argument is, we are a sovereign nation. I'm an elected leader. I'm doing what I think is right for my nation. So that is where we stand. But I think this explanation is needed so we understand why Australia, America, Japan are also upset about this change in a tiny place, in a group of 900 islands inhabiting no more than 7 lakh people, and why India is concerned too, never mind that it's not talking about it.